South Africa is a young democracy, but its voters are aging faster than its optimism. Every election cycle, we hear the same concerns about youth turnout, disengagement, and political apathy. But what if the real question is not why young people are not voting, but what they believe voting still changes? Because participation is not just a democratic duty, it is a calculation of impact. And somewhere along the way, that calculation may have changed. A democracy does not weaken only when people stop voting. It weakens when voting no longer feels like it connects to outcomes that matter. The question is not whether young people are absent from democracy. It is whether democracy still shows up in their lives in a way they can recognize. I think I'm going to start with voter education programs.
Sure.
I was there at the very beginning when the first, like, Khululeka and all of those programs were out. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And so I'm wondering, when the IEC designs voter education programs today, what are some of the core assumptions about what citizens, particularly young citizens, understand about democracy?
Look, as the Electoral Commission, we commission surveys to assist us with our planning. And we've recently actually published the voter participation survey, which is a key barometer to, you know, get the understanding of the public sentiments about electoral democracy. But also what it does, it gives you key insight in the voters' perceptions about, you know, these upcoming elections. So when you design your programs, you design them based on research. What is the feel of the public, particularly the young people, in terms of, you know, these elections? What are their attitudes? And you try and address those in the educational programs that you design.
Oh, I can't not ask, because I'm wondering, what are the most common misconceptions that you've come across when you, because you said you did the survey. Now I need to know.
Absolutely.
What are the common misconceptions that you come across?
The biggest one is that if a person doesn't vote, their vote is given to the ruling party, you know, and of course that's not true, you know. Secondly, you must understand that as the Electoral Commission, our job is to really deliver elections and not service delivery. So sometimes you get confused with the public institutions, and as a result, then you find that some people lose interest in the process itself, you know, not because of what the IEC does, but of what the political environment out there looks like. I remember before we went into NPE 2024, we ran another survey to just test the youth's attitudes towards those elections. And, you know, three major things came out of that particular survey, which tried to explain why we've got so many young people not interested or perhaps disengaged, you know, in the electoral processes. They cited three things in particular. Firstly, they said the issue of corruption, the issue of poor service delivery, the issue of unemployment. And they said because this democracy is not giving them those basics, then they feel there's really no point for them to be actively engaged and participate. And you are saying to them, you are disengaging from the one thing that gives you the tool to be able to effect, you know, whatever it is that you want this democracy to give you. Because the minute you disengage, you are taking away your power, you know.
Well, you raise something that I'd be interested to hear from your writing and your commentary. Because this is about interpretation, right?
So sure.
The young people are interpreting
that
this democracy is not working because of the frustrations that they have.
Sure.
And I'm wondering from your work, Donovan, what do you think is the driver of some of these interpretations for young people? Where are they getting these ideas from?
Let's just take a step back even for me, because you had referenced yourself and you about our time as such, when what voter education was about. And it's different. I think the youth know why you vote, how you vote. They don't need to be taught that your vote is your secret and so forth. There can be misconceptions like you had talked about, like, hey, because of corruption and so forth, we also worry about our institutions and can they be free and fair in that kind of sense. But the right to vote and that your vote is your secret and so forth, there's a generalized understanding of it. The difficulty becomes is, does your vote matter? That's the number of it, which the IEC will explain in terms of democracy matters, therefore your vote matters. You know, just today, I saw a clip from on social media that's going around of a creche doing a mock election.
Oh, wow.
Right? So they had ballot sheets with the five parties there. It was the ANC, the EFF, the DA, MK Party, Action SA. Those are the five parties, if I recall it correctly. So this is a creche, right? These are not school-going kids. This is grade R or something like that. And you had the party reps, they elected their party reps, and they went through this mock election. And then you get it. And then, like, you know, they counted the votes, and then they asked the reps, do you accept this result? And one of the interesting things was on TikTok, this. One of the interesting things, those who lost didn't like the result. You know, like, no, we can't accept this result. They were being a little bit like us, right, in a way. And those who won, you know, and so forth. But it reflected, I think even the who won is unimportant to me. It's irrelevant. The point is that our kids understood voting at that age. I would love us to do it with high schools. In the Netherlands, they do this in Amsterdam. They have a mock election the day before the actual elections in high schools, a few high schools in Amsterdam. And they vote for the same parties that will be contesting the elections. In fact, you have some of those leaders of those parties that go and address the students and canvass for their votes, although it's meaningless votes. And they actually, on national TV, they announce the elections the day before the elections. It is usually a precursor of how people are thinking about politics in the country. And generally speaking, the radical parties do better. The ruling parties hardly ever. And the environmental parties. And I remembered when I observed that, that at that stage, the anti-immigrant party was already getting a lot of support within the Netherlands.
So I think I'm wondering, because both of you are talking about, and I really do want us to talk about young people, because the apathy, as it's termed, is seen with young people. We are a young democracy with an aging voters roll, right?
That's correct.
And so I'm wondering if you're talking about literacy. They understand what must be done. Is this a form of maybe different kind of political literacy that these young people are showing by not showing up? Is that a decision that they're making in not showing up? Do they understand what that means?
It's as much as they understand the voting process, I don't think that they fully understand, you know, how electoral democracy works. Because if you listen to them, you would realize that they think when they disengage in a way, then they would, you know, get their aspirations achieved, for lack of a better word. And with electoral democracy, you know, as well as Denevan, you know, does, that the minute you disengage, you weaken the system. Because democracy works for people better if there's maximum participation. But the minute that the majority of citizens, eligible citizens, disengage from the system, they weaken the system. That is why now, you know, the effect of a low voter turnout is unstable, you know,
governance. In fairness to young people, it's not just young people. And this is the point I was trying to make with the earlier point.
All right.
And this is globally. Globally, democracy is failing to achieve what democracy promises. This is why anti-establishment candidates and parties, which you'd call like right-wing parties in Europe, Trump in the United States, populists, right, get so much of popularity both from young and old, because they are promising to smash the same system and establishment through votes.
So whose job is it? This work? Because if it is it a trust issue? Democracy is failing. You, Donovan, are saying democracy is failing to deliver on what it has promised. And the IEC's job is to make sure that the education is there, you know how it works, the ballots are there, you know. So this in between, then.
So
whose
job
is this in between?
Look, democracy is a multi-stakeholder project. The IEC alone cannot really successfully deliver civic and democracy education. Of course, we can do voter education and balloting education to a large extent. However, it requires a multi-stakeholder effort for us to be able to reach every corner of the society. But what is important is that, you know, it's voter education, as we are, you know, legislated to promote voter education, should not just be about encouraging people to register to vote and then go to the polls when elections are called, but also to exercise that constitutional responsibility with responsibility, or rather that constitutional right with responsibility. How you vote also determines who becomes your government, and that determines the kind of life you would have in the five-year term for which that particular government is elected. And that is the message that we're amplifying as the Electoral Commission, to say you've got to begin to take that X that you cross on the ballot paper seriously.
May I be allowed to be corny or cheesy? Ooh, okay. Right? Let's you can choose corny or cheesy. You can decide. Any of the C's. Mandela was 27 years in prison. Our Freedom Day, which is our first democratic elections, was on the 27th of April.
Are you doing a numerology thing on us?
Yeah.
It looks like.
Right?
Yeah.
In our constitution, we have 27 human rights. They carved into the doors of the Constitutional Court. Mm-hmm. And as you know, our country dialing code is 27.
So
okay.
Right? So allow me to play with this corniness for a moment.
So what?
Right? Where are we going with this?
That to counter apathy, you can't, you're not going to suddenly get democracy to work perfectly. You're not going to just deliver everything within 5 years or whatever. Multi-stakeholder, how are you going to get everybody to agree? But you got to have people believing. And this is why I will raise this number thing, that South Africa is not just wonderful and believing in it. It's also significant. We got to get our young people and old people to understand, with all the imperfections, and there are many, in everything, we are significant as South Africa, and we want South Africa to work. And whoever doesn't want it to work, we are not going to allow them to pull us down. So it's like Bafana Bafana. If you keep on saying they're bad, they're going to be bad. If you tell your child you are terrible all the time, the child will be terrible. So how do you get young people, old people, all people, to be excited by the possibility that South Africa is significant? That this 27 doesn't come from nowhere. So for me, right?
So should we be talking to 27-year-olds?
Okay. No, all in the ages. For me, you've got to get that enthusiasm of that 5-year-old. You've got to remind the 13-year-old, the 18-year-old, the 25-year-old, the 55-year-old. Because every day you are being bombarded with how many things are going wrong. But you're not, and as you hear the good things that are coming or whatever happening, you don't really believe. You don't really think you're significant. And the significance of South Africa is tied to your significance as Pumi.
So I'm, okay. You first.
And you see, that's part of civic and democracy education. And as the Electoral Commission, we have partnered with the Department of Basic Education. This partnership has been going on for a very long time. In the month of April, then we go to schools for, you know, under general education or under basic education, where we educate young people. Probably the mock election thing that you saw, you know, the IEC probably was part of that particular mock election, because in the month of April, that's what we do. But over and above that, we realize that you still get young people who would have passed matric and still not really understanding this thing called democracy and how important, as you are saying, they are in the, you know, the ecosystem of democracy. So in 2022, we established what we call a tertiary institutions campaign, where we go to tertiary institutions and do activations. And we've seen really, you know, the impact of these programs on young people, because as she was saying, we've got an aging voters role. You know, young people are not as active in terms of voter registration as they should be. For instance, if you look at the states, those between the age of 18 and 19 is only about 27% of them are on the roll. And 27% of those that are actually 27 eligible.
Again, by the way.
Again, 27%. You know. So you look at the older ones between the age of 20-29, it's about just, you know, about 50%, 48% or so. And you realize that there is definitely a gap that we as the Electoral Commission, together with our multi-stakeholder, need to feel in terms of education. Because we fundamentally believe that as much as indeed there are real issues in society, we cannot disengage from participation if we want to be to advance this country as a people.
So, you know, you're also talking about a belief and an ideology, right, on the one hand, of getting more South Africans engaged in a single source ideology, as it were. And you're talking about some of the frustrations living in the experience of what democracy is supposed to deliver.
Sure.
So there's a gap in between these two things. And I'm wondering, what does it take? What do you think it would take to turn it around, to move from apathy? So you're in the education system.
Yes.
What are some of the signifiers that changes people's idea about how to show up and when to show up?
Look, we can't give up. We need to try everything possible. That's why the Electoral Commission, we are commissioning research. We're trying to find out really what are the issues that make young people disengage. And based on what we find in, you know, those research, then we try and develop our programs around that so that we address the specific issues that young people, you know, are complaining about. However, that being as it may, as the Electoral Commission, we're only mandated to manage elections, ensure that those elections are free and fair, and deliver the results within a period of 7 days. Mm-hmm. You know, so there is a limitation in terms of how some of these issues we can, you know, we can resolve as the Electoral Commission. So we engage with various stakeholders. We've got partnerships with, you know, for instance, your party liaison committees at all spheres of government, where we share these research findings with the political parties to say these are the issues that people are concerned about.
Yeah.
Do something about it, because really at the moment, as we speak, the decline in terms of public trust in your public institutions is one major issue that we can't ignore. What does the commission do to resolve that? Is to highlight those that are responsible, share the research findings with them, and say, do something about this in order to strengthen our democracy. Otherwise, then it's at stake.
David, you watch these parties and you watch how they respond and communicate. Do you think that they are agile enough? Are they even interested in changing and overcoming some of the structural frustration that young people are to change the turnout?
A few years ago, I wrote an article in the Sunday Times, and I may need to rewrite it, about why I think local government must change and how we're electing. In fact, our electoral system must change. But I'll preface this. In the ward I live in, and I won't mention the political party because we're going to be going into elections and I don't want to knock one political party compared to the other. If the ward I stay in, if the political party which wins that ward can put up a cat for this local government elections, they will still win. It wouldn't matter. The ward councillor who's elected will always come from that political party. And that's the problem of our local government elections and the agility you are asking for, Pumi. Because your audience is not the people. Your market, if you want to call it that, it's the party bosses. You as a ward councillor, who's supposedly elected by the community, knows that if you are not the councillor being put forward by your political party, you won't stand a chance of winning. So there's a skewedness in our system. In our system, it is more the party bosses, even at local government level. And the sad part about this, the background of this, is that proportional representation, a party vote at local elections, is for the young people out there, you vote twice in a sense. I'll just say that. You vote for your party and you vote for whoever is nominated in the ward. The party vote, which is called the proportional representation vote, was a compromise at the CODESA negotiations. It was a compromise because the then National Party was fearful that they would not win any ward if you had proper wards. That, you know, the wards where the erstwhile so-called white areas, group areas in a sense, would not be large enough. The result was you created PR. Now, since you started getting hung, not 50%, the first one was Port Elizabeth, as you know, the name has changed.
Kukompo.
No, Kubecha or something, right?
Kubecha, Port Elizabeth. Right? There are so many name changes there in the Eastern Cape, guys.
Right? Port Elizabeth, the first time that the then African National Congress lost the election, they only lost on the PR vote. They actually didn't lose on the wards. They won the majority wards. In Johannesburg, they have consistently won the majority wards. But they don't win on the PR vote. So you're actually not getting the people speaking. There's a dissonance. I would remove PR. I would remove PR, and I would not allow political parties to contest at local level at all. I would go further. I would have directly elected mayors, directly elected city manager or municipal manager, directly elected head of police, directly head of roads. Mm. Or you should be doing that. So people feel they can be in charge of things. And I'd have staggered elections. I'll finish now, Pumi. I'd have staggered elections. I'd have elections for politicians in 1 year, 2 years later, the election of the administrators themselves. So they know that if they don't perform, people won't elect them.
Did you did you participate in the recent electoral reform?
Well, you asked that question, and because then my question is really around lawmaking, because now you're talking about we have to change the way these things are. And the connection between your vote and governance and change. Right?
Yes.
Because when we have these things where the platforms are, where people are supposed to come and give their input, then we don't see people show up.
We don't see people show up because, look, he's making valid points, and you'd wish that those had found expression in the submissions when we did the electoral reform. This is a reflection of what's happening in our society. You've got a lot of young people that have great ideas out there, but then you ask them, are you participating in any structure to ensure that these ideas find expression and eventually become law or policy at one level or the other? And you find that most of them are not. Look at a perfect example.
Yeah, because you're talking about the voter's choice. Yes. You know, changing legislation for the voter's choice.
Not just the voter's choice.
Yeah.
People, just like yourself, if your family is ignoring you, when you start going to family events, you basically shut up, right? You'll just switch off. You'll switch off, right? And currently, our people do want, young people are the same. I don't make that distinction between young and old. Everyone wants the same thing. They want jobs. They want security, financial or security. They want to be able to enjoy themselves. They want to be able to have holidays. They want to. Yes, people get greedy after time. That is true. But what they see a little bit on TV, they want a bit of that. We can have better values in South Africa. That's true. Right? Our values are a bit mishmashed at different times. We've seen that. But that's not the point. The point is young people want the same things that everybody wants. But they have competing. They've been told they must label themselves young people because that's their niche. Right? Yeah. That's their niche. Just like we are told in different ways. We all look for those niches. And at times what happens is that very often political parties choose the young people that sound like themselves. Sound like they're old people. You hardly get young people sounding young.
So, Makhabo, I want to just for you to close your thought around participating in structures and some of these places where to find expression.
Yeah.
Because that goes beyond voter education.
Sure.
That is now kind of citizen education, what it takes to be a citizen and show up.
We call it civic and democracy education.
Civic and democracy education.
Sure, Pumi.
So why then is there still this gap? If we've done the job, young people know how to vote, where to vote, they may not be showing up.
He's given a typical example of how, in fact, that's a practical example. He says if you're not a happy in the family, then you decide that you'll just keep quiet and take your corner there. And that is what a lot of young people are doing. And I'm going to ask him now, when you decide to withdraw, like you've just given this example, does that then make you happy? You see? And that's exactly, so we are saying as the Electoral Commission that you need to become an active citizen. You need to realize as a young person, in fact, any person who lives in electoral democracy, that the only way that you can make a government work for you if you participate. If you don't participate, you're weakening the system to your disadvantage. And that is the one message that I think South Africans need to get very clear. There is no excuse for a person not to vote when there are so many options available. Right now, we're going into local elections where people can even contest these elections as independents, other than political parties. So you really have no excuse to participate. However, participation should not only be limited to registering to vote and vote when elections are called. You need to do a little bit beyond that, you've got to hold those that you elect into office accountable. When was the last time you go to a public meeting? When was the last time you attended a councillor's feedback session, for instance? You find that they voted 3 years ago and that was the last time they engaged with the system. And how then do you expect the system to work for you effectively if you become disengaged after voting? So you need to become active as a citizen for this beautiful thing called democracy to work for you. Otherwise, the frustrations will grow. Yeah.
But there should be a balance as well.
Sure.
There should be a balance. The balance is that for the model citizen, Pumi, what you would have to do, you'd have to get up, go to work, at work make certain you have your trade union meeting, with a shop steward. You come back from work, you rush to a CPF meeting or community policing forum meeting, or you're part of the school governing body. Then you have to get back, you have to help the child with the homework and cook and it's impossible. So there has to be a balance. There has to be active citizenry.
Yeah.
But government itself and political leadership, because when they want to, they can be assertive. They can move forward. And we shouldn't be scared of failure. Mm-hmm. All innovation requires measures and accountability with failure. There shouldn't be. As long as you're doing it correctly and so forth, and you fail, it's okay. The problem becomes that our government would say, No, we need the people. They must be active citizens. But they don't assert themselves. But when they need to assert themselves on particular matters, as you go closer to elections, you have that occurring. And that's part of the frustration. So there has to be this balance, right? You must have active citizens and so forth. You have situations where ward councillors for certain parties, their ward committees are not elected. They're appointed. They hold no community meetings, none whatsoever. And there is no assertion on that. Hold on. Every ward committee must be elected. That's not even in the legislation. You can do it any way you want to. So you want active citizens, but you do not create, I'll finish it now, you do not create the opportunity. You also ask too much of citizens. It is impossible to attend to all these things. I want government to lead. Not leading only when it fits their purposes or maybe their friends' purposes. And I don't want to go into the corruption, that we learn about. And that's part of the problem. That's part of the frustration of democracy, which equates to freedom, which equates to believing we are significant. Mm.
Makhabo, right. You wanted to say?
No, what I wanted to say, in fact, now I've lost that, that point. However, what is important is that you would have to identify something that speaks to your aspiration in the community. It is not everything that you can participate in, but there has got to be something that, speaks to you. And that is where you should begin your active citizenry as a citizen. Because if you are not going to take part in any of these things, the likelihood is that you're going to sit in that little corner there and be that sad family member that has decided to withdraw from the family. You are there, but you are actually not there because you've taken a corner and decided to keep quiet. And democracy doesn't work like that, unfortunately. Hence, I was saying, when you look at the impact of low voter turnout, it's disastrous. Yeah. It is, because then, you don't have representation or outright representation, and that leads to coalitions, then it's instability. Today, there's this mayor, tomorrow he's out, there's that other mayor. And what happens in the interim is the public that suffers because service delivery gets seriously compromised when that happens. So you would realize that as much as as citizens, young people in particular, you may not be happy about certain aspects of this democracy. When you withdraw from participation, you are actually perpetuating the situation. You are not helping it at all.
Sure.
That's huge.
It's a mic drop.
That is huge.
That is a mic drop because it really does feel, I think, for a lot of young people and a lot of the older people who've stopped showing up, that there is no correlation between my vote and my situation changing. Whereas, in fact, what you're telling us is that it's the inverse
that is
true.
Actually.
Is that in not showing up with your vote, the impact on you is actually even greater and more acute.
Absolutely.
It's the scary part. It's what Mahama made me think of. The former president Mbeki has been saying now he said it about 2 years ago and he's been saying it now. And I first thought about it. I thought, okay, maybe he's just doing a little political game, you know?
Sure.
Like a little extortion or blackmail, emotional blackmail.
Extortion.
That if the ANC is not intact and it doesn't go, South Africa is in trouble, there's a governance trouble. And I was thinking about it a little bit more differently because I've heard him say it many times and I've been wondering.
But he's an ANC
wondering,
cadre. He's
no, but I've been wondering about it for me. No, I've been wondering about it. And I then began to understand it a bit differently, which is what I think Makgabo is saying. Because just remove the ANC part of it as a party. That vision of South Africa, non-racial, non-sexist and equal, that vision that South Africa can be able to do that, whoever is there having that vision for South Africa and people aspiring and thinking it can, if that dissipates, if that removes itself, people won't coalesce. You'll have, I don't know how old you were in 1993, around the 10th of April, when Chris Hani got assassinated. It's not about de Klerk and Mandela, compromising and whatever else, but the averting of civil war in that period, it was real.
Yeah.
It was definitely real. And that averting of civil war was because you somehow believed you could have a non-racial, you could have a non-sexist, you could have an equal, at least rights,
society. Yeah.
And that's how the Inkatha, you're putting stickers on the last moment. You averted that. And what I worry about, and I think that's what Mbeki is reminding us about. So to remove the ANC part as an ANC cadre or whatever it is, he's actually reminding you to say, guys, do you realize that if you lose that vision, you fragment yourself and then you will start fighting in real. That civil war you couldn't do then.
Mm.
Your anger, the youth, whoever it is, being angry that what you're not getting with your vote or whatever, you will then take it out. And South Africa will have that civil war that they averted then. And I think that's what I'm getting from what Makgabo is saying. He's talking about, that's why I said it's big. It's huge because it means that it's not just about voting. It's about cherishing. It's about cherishing that we have a democracy. South Africa, and this is serious, I've traveled around the world. South Africa is freer than any Western country. Politically, we are the freest country on the globe. Literally speaking, there's no country as free as South Africa. We don't cherish that. Our young people, whether it is younger, we don't think much of it. But in truth,
we are so
free.
We
should be
it,
cherishing it. But that freedom, it's dialectical. That freedom itself can allow you to explode itself. We saw it in the June, July stuff, you know, during COVID and so forth. We're also the only country that during COVID was, our trains were being stripped, you know, mental was being stripped. So we also have stupid things like that. So somehow, what Makgabo is saying and Mbeki is saying, you should have been more explicit because that's what I went through, is that somehow we got to cherish the freedom so that we get excited about it and we understand the limit. And that's what you were saying from the beginning. We understand the limitations of it, but we say, damn the limitations, we're going to push you hard without getting angry. You can get angry, but not angry.
I think I love that.
Well, good.
I think I love that. Well, sure. Put on both sides. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for your time. Because I do believe it. I love this country more than I think about, actually. But I do think that we all don't realize how fragile a thing it is to have a country as amazing as the one that we have. Thank you for coming and spending the time with me.
It's great.
Thank you for the invitation.
It's really great. And to South Africans, get up, show up, and vote in these upcoming elections.